religion is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman & Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, November 12th, 2015. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And the Global Star Radio Network. Proud to be part of the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on BTR, or Blog Talk Network. There you can reach us. Also, we're broadcast live on our YouTube channel. Links to each of our audio and video broadcasting venues can be found on our home base at HagmanandHagman.com. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator Joe Hagman. Together, we're something I like to call, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We dig deep into topics that the captured corporate Illuminati mass-controlled media will not, do not, and tonight is no exception. Tonight we've got a very special show for you planned. Deception, demons, devils, and deliverance. Wow, the four Ds. Very proud to have with us tonight Mr. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Really, this is a double header for Steve this week. Last night he was on with Pastor David Langford, somebody blessed by that broadcast. Now tonight, getting into even some more deeper subjects about deliverance with Pastor John Kyle. Pastor John Kyle. And folks, if you go to HagmanHagman.com, look at Deception, Demons, Devils, and Deliverance. There you can visit both Pastor John Kyle's website as well as Steve Quayle's website. Joe, I'm going to toss it to you. You can bring on our guests for tonight.
Yeah, we have another great show planned. Last night, if you missed it, Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford were on. And tonight, we have a special treat, Steve Quayle and Pastor John Kyle. We had the pleasure of meeting Pastor John Kyle in Montana at the Whitestone Remnant Conference. He is a deliverance minister, and it was my first experience with a deliverance minister, and had the chance to not only meet him, but watch him and him give a sermon. And watch the way that he works. And so many people were happy and were changed by his sermon. And it is a pleasure to bring him back on the air. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you now to start the show. And welcome, gentlemen, both Pastor John and Steve.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I've known Pastor John for quite a few years. And he and his wife, Linda, planted and pastored churches since 1983. And have been ministering in the areas of deliverance and spiritual warfare for just about, 32 years. John began working in the deliverance area after he himself received deliverance while in Israel in 1984. When he came back from that trip, he and Linda, his wife, began ministering deliverance to the people at their church. They began with people at their church, but has developed into a ministry that has impacted people all over the world. And as Joe said, ladies and gentlemen, we watched the Whitestone Conference when Pastor John was ministering deliverance. I would say it's no exaggeration that one-third of the people at least needed the deliverance, and this was a Christian conference. They've hosted over 9 national conferences where spiritual warfare was a leading topic in the meetings. Now, John is an author and has taught spiritual warfare in many cities in the U.S. and foreign countries such as England, South America, and Haiti. Anybody that's gone to Haiti knows that, there's, and I'm talking Haiti, not Hades, but I'm sure some people would claim they're the same, has got battlefield-hardened experience in the one of the occult centers of the world. Now, John has ministered on TV, radio, and internet radio as well. Pastor John and Linda are currently pastoring a church in Montana, and I've had the blessing of going and ministering with him for people's deliverance and going and receiving deliverance from him. And it's been a blessing. And so tonight I want to bring on Pastor John Kyle because we're talking tonight about doctrines of demons. And let me just lay a quick understanding of what demons are. A demon is a disembodied spirit. A fallen angel is not a demon. A giant is not a demon. when the fallen angels that came onto the earth had sexual relations with earth women, produced a group of beings which became the mighty men of renown. When those giants died, that disembodied spirit, which was half angelic and half human, became the demons. You can go on my website, stevequayle.com, go read the fragments of the Book of Enoch, and also, I'm sorry, go on my Giants, Genesis 6 Giants website.com, read the ancient manuscripts. But it's important that you understand that demons have self-awareness, they are intelligent. You cannot argue with them. You cannot outthink them. You cannot outsmart them. You certainly can't outmaneuver them. But in the name of Jesus, with the blood of the Lamb, there is power in the name of Jesus. And one thing that's interesting, Pastor John, is that people quote the Lord's Prayer, but about 99.9% of them, my opinion, probably never noticed the words of Jesus when he said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come amongst you. So, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor John Kyle, he's one of the gentlemen that I absolutely admire, that obviously I allow to speak into my life, and I've watched the fruit of God's supernatural Holy Spirit ministering through him and from him, and I've been a great recipient of the blessing of God. Go ahead, John. Thank you for coming on tonight. It's critical times because the church is absolutely under, what represents itself as a church is under demonic delusion. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, thank you, Brother Steve. I appreciate you having me on. Brother Joe and Doug, we glad to be here again. It's been a while since I've been on your program, and just want to thank you and greet everybody tonight and tell you, yes, I appreciate so much all of your ministries and what you're doing and getting the word out at this critical time. As Steve says, it is a critical time, and the world at this time is just becoming a place where it's rare and harder to find real truth today, and truth is so important to have at this very time that we're living in. And indeed, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a person who does deliverance ministry as well. So I do teach all subjects, but I specialize in deliverance ministry, as we've been doing that, as Steve has said, for many years. And so many are out there proclaiming, here's the truth. You know, I have the truth, and I'm right, and my ministry is right, you know. But there are so many contradictory teachings out there right now, and everybody can't be right. I mean, they all think they are, but obviously they are not. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know that there is one truth and one road to all truth, and that's God's Word. For he said, I have magnified my word above my name in his scripture. And yet I see deception everywhere I look. And that is indeed one of the things we're talking about tonight is deception. Lies, lies, lies everywhere. In the church and, of course, out of the church. But, you know, why do we have so much deception going on in the church? Well, you know, I was praying about that, and one thing came to me, so I'd just like to read this scripture to you, and then actually I've had two things, but this is the first thing that came to me. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So one reason is God said, be a doer, not a hearer only. Well, you know what? We have a lot of hearers, but few doers of the word. And people are doing their thing, and they're calling it the Word, of course, but it's not the Word, because it's their thing, or demon thing. And so, yeah, a person can talk the Word all day long, all week long, but no doing of it, then they are deceived. I mean, that's just what Scripture says. I didn't say that. The Scripture says that. And the fact is about all many people can do nowadays is talk, because really they have so many demons attached to them that they are handicapped or simply incapable of doing the word, because demons, they hinder, they block, they sabotage, they stop the doing, the true doing of the word of God, any way they can get away with. So, you know, if we talk the word and don't do the word, we're in a measure of deception. And Jesus did the word, and he was the word. And, you know, he preached good news to the captives. He cast out devils. He healed the sick, and he lived a holy life. Okay, so that is one reason I believe that we're seeing a lot of deception today, because the Christians are just not doing the word. they're doing their thing, or they're just not able to do it because they're demonized and they need deliverance. Another reason for the rampant lies and deception in the church and out of the church today is because Satan is the father of all lies. And as his days grow short, you know, the lies become more prevalent and are proliferating in the church and out of the church. I mean, he's having his last so-called hurrah with the human race, and he's coming out with a vengeance on all the inhabitants of planet Earth with his wiles and deception. You know, demons, fallen beings, and deception is going into all the corners of the earth to keep mankind in bondage, even working false signs and wonders, which we'll talk more about that a little bit here in a minute, but so much so that they're going to say, there is Christ, and here is the Christ, but Jesus said in Matthew 24 about that, when they say, there's the Christ, here's the Christ, you know, don't go. Don't go out there, because that's not him. In fact, let's go ahead and read it, Matthew 24, 23 and 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. But notice here, is Christ. Christ means, you know, it's not Jesus' last name. It means anointed. Jesus the anointed. Okay, so we're seeing, there's the anointing over there. Here's the anointing over here. There's the anointing of God. Let's go over here. But no, that's a demonic anointing. That's not Jesus. A masquerading devil looking like an angel of light, but a lie. And if you partake of it, you're going to pick up devils. And I've known many who have through partaking of things that are just not God. And so there's a lot of false anointings out there today that look like Christ. I mean, they're so good looking, the Bible says that it could deceive the very elect, if possible. Okay? And so some example is the orb flying around the church service, and they call it Jesus. They call it the angel. They call it God showing up, or the grave-sucking thing that's going on now with a lot of people out of a certain group. They're all promoting grave-sucking, laying on graves, supposedly sucking up the anointing from dead saints. Well, I'm telling you, they'll suck up an anointing, all right, but it won't be a holy anointing. It'll be an unholy anointing because the person's spirit is not even there with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So what hangs out in graveyards? I know when I was a kid, you know, we'd go around graveyards and be looking for ghosts and stuff. That's what we see in graveyards. So what do they see in graveyards? You're going to see demons. And people that go around there laying on graves are going to pick up more devils. They pick up an anointing, all right, but it's an unholy anointing. And so,
hey, John. John.
Yes.
I think it's important that the Bible teaches the doctrine of laying on of hands with live people that literally have the Spirit of the Living God. So I think people have got to know the reverse. What? And I never knew that even existed until a year ago. Grave sucking. What's amazing is that. It's the reverse. I mean, that's why the scripture says lay hands hastily on no man. Would you just deal too with this because of grave sucking? I don't want to interrupt you. You can go right back. But will you deal with the people that always want to come up and pray for people, and that people should really know the person that's laying hands on them? Would you deal with that?
Yes. My people, you need to be very cautious about who you let lay hands on you, because I'm going to tell you something. People have devils, and there can be a transference of spirits if you don't know that person, if they haven't gone through deliverance, and you don't know that they're truly anointed of God, and you have discernment operating in you to discern that, then you're very likely to have a transference of spirits if you let these people lay hands on you. I mean, there are several people that come from this group where they do the grave sucking that we've ministered to, that have had epileptic seizures, various seizures going on that they never had before they went and became a part of that ministry that has promoted the grave sucking. And so they got a wrong anointing there. They picked up something that has affected their life even long after they've left being a part over there and moved on in their life to somewhere else. And so you don't want just anybody laying hands on you, like Brother Steve said, that lay hands suddenly on no man, and know those that labor among you. So you don't get somebody laying hands on you and transferring some demon that you're going to have to struggle with for years afterwards. And so we have a
Pastor and Steve, if I can just interject this, and thank you, Steve, very much, and Pastor, for really explaining this, because I'm new to the deliverance ministry. When I say new, obviously, I'm the last couple of years, and I just want to just reinforce this, because I think it's so important. The deliverance industry, or ministry, I'm sorry, the deliverance ministry appears to me to, it appears to have been become a cottage industry. I have seen this personally, and it disturbs me. And I just want to reassure our listeners. I have met Pastor Kyle, Steve Quayle, obviously, with Pastor Kyle. Pastor John Kyle is the, I mean, to approach deliverance, this is not Fletch Lives from 1989, where there's, you know, Reverend Jimmy Lee Farnsworth, that theatrical performance of laying on hands. Everything that Pastor Kyle is saying about you know, the laying on of hands by people, it's very important to understand that. I just really want to reinforce that, because there are many people out there making this a cottage industry and taking this very lightly, or with a cavalier attitude. And you're hearing Pastor John Kyle, and perhaps, you know, it was unnecessary for me to interrupt and say this, Steve, but I just really feel in my heart that people need to differentiate between the Pastor Kyle deliverance ministry versus the cottage industry telethon kind of approach, or the big stage approach, the theatrical approach, you know, so... Okay.
Well, and I think this, the people that, and this is why I know John and his wife very well, you know, they're about Jesus, and they're not about themselves. And you know, somebody once said, well, what do you think of God's superstars? I said he only has one, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But laying hands hastily on no man, that's a big deal. So I want to give a practical word, a practical word. People come through, and I love the fact they want to pray for me, but I will not allow someone I do not know to come through my store, and they show up at various times of year and stuff, and I'll say, pray for me, and if they go to put their hands on me, I say, please don't do that, I just want you to pray for me, you know, and I don't lay hands on anybody without, number one, asking them, and number two, saying, Lord, is it right? This is a big deal, and John, you take off on this too. You know that when Moses, when it was time for him to basically die and go to heaven, Moses physically died, the angel buried him, but he was to take of the spirit that God had placed upon him and put his hands on Joshua and impart it. Is that not the scripture, Pastor John?
Yes, that's true.
So take it from there, because you deal with people that have had what I would call the wrong transfer of spirits. By the way, that's a real biblia. This isn't hoopla. This isn't lollipop land. This is what the Word of God says. So it's one of the basic tenets of faith, and just like the foundation of faith, you know, it's one of those things that people, number one, haven't been taught on, but they need to be really careful. Go ahead, John.
Indeed, that is true, and plus, you know, you got to be careful of who you hook up with, because there could be a transfer of spirits that way too, in a business relationship or a sexual relationship. Of course, the soul tie is formed. The Bible says two shall become one flesh. So when you join yourself, and in fact, it says that don't join yourself to a harlot, you're going to pick up a problem there. I mean, if you read that scripture on that, you become one flesh, and there's a soul tie formed, and spirits are released, and some people who have done that have been tormented with sexual spirits after being with certain people and struggled with that for many years until they get deliverance, and some never get deliverance. They struggle all their lives with that. So it's very important to guard yourself at this time that we live in, because there are a lot of spirits out there just looking for a place to hook up. I mean, the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that door that's open, where you open that door to him and allow him to get attached to you. We've had people with female angels, and there are no female angels in the scriptures, okay? But I know of people who have been visited by so-called female angels and thought that it was God. I mean, they thought it was God, and then they even taught it to people that they had been visited by it, you know, and gave that testimony, and many believers believe that. No one could even tell them differently because they had the actual experience. But how many know you can have an experience, and just because you have an experience doesn't mean you had an experience with the Holy Spirit or God. There could be an experience with a lot of different spirits, but it's not necessarily the Holy Spirit, right? And so many ministers are teaching wrong doctrines and deceiving many today. Why? Well, because they never got deliverance. So the spirit's still in them, operate, and teach a wrong doctrine, or a false teaching, or a lie, because they have spirits in them from before they were born again, and you know, demons don't just leave because you get born again. I mean, they leave your spirit because the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your spirit, but we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. So they don't leave your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, and they don't leave your body. And so these people who get born again, they go into the ministry. They might have had some type of soothsaying devil or fortune-telling spirit, and they mistake seeing the future for the Holy Spirit giving them things, but it's the actual familiar spirit giving them direction and foreseeing of the future and different things. And we've had people come to our churches over the years that had these false gifts from demons, and they thought they were the Holy Spirit, and when you try to tell them that that's not the Holy Spirit, they get offended. You know, people who don't believe in deliverance or have never gotten any, they have devils. That's just a fact, and devils run people, they run people's lives to some degree. And so the demons cause people to proclaim and believe a lie and to preach often a watered-down gospel, a compromising gospel. So how is it that whole denominations preach against the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues? Or demons sitting up there in denominational headquarters telling the denomination what to believe, and then it just goes down from there, because if the head of a denomination are deceived, then it's going to go forth to the whole denomination from there. Or signs and wonders passed away with the last apostle. Well, there's more lies, but I know a denomination that teaches that too, more than one. Whole denominations and religious groups don't believe that a Christian can have a demon. And the demons have them right where they want them. See, where deliverance is denied or not believed in, demons proliferate. Doesn't matter that one is a Christian. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know that scripture. I mean, demons love it when people don't believe they can have any in them, right? I mean, they operate best when they can do their job stealth, right? And these dumb pawns, the demons say, we don't have to leave. We'll hold them in their grip, in our grip, until they die and go to heaven and make their life miserable the whole time and torment them and trouble them and harass them and make them depressed or discouraged or fall into lust and sexual sin. And they do. You know, many Christians are so miserable today. You know, I just heard of a church this week which had a church split. They've just devastated the church. And, of course, I've heard of many over the years, but just another one. Well, who's behind all that? Demons are behind that. Demons and people. You know, I'm offended. Well, who told you that you are offended? But where did you get that information from? Give me the chapter and verse. Well, you can't, because some demon told you you're offended, and you say, I'm offended. And now here comes the fruit of that offense in breaking up the church or going out and picking up a bunch of spirits of bitterness and hurt and going through life with a root of bitterness and being tormented and infecting other people that you go around because you have that root of bitterness in you now, that spirit of bitterness operating in you. You say, well, I'm saved. I can't have any demons. Well, you bought another lie. You bought into another deception. The Bible calls deliverance the children's bread, not the non-children's bread. The saved bread, not the unsaved. An unsaved person can't keep a demon out. You know, they have no protection. That's why, you know, the scripture says that the demons come out of a person and the house is all swept clean and garnished, and then it goes and gets seven more worse than himself and comes back and the person's shape is worse than it was before. Well, why is that? Well, because they didn't fill their house. Only a Christian can fill their house. So if I cast demons out of an unbeliever, they're going to come back unless the person gets born again. and ask Jesus into their heart, get washed in the blood of Jesus, because the spirits, you know, they don't, they have a legal right. I mean, they're not saved. And so they come right back in. This is our house. You may have cast us out, but we have a legal right to be here until they're born again and start doing warfare to keep these spirits out of them. And so, no, they can't get in your spirit as a Christian, but they literally inhabit your body and soul. Never just one or two either, by the way. They travel in groups. You know, I've had Christians who've been faithful for years come in and the demons just beat their heads on a wall or the floor as they manifest and come out. And recently one was beating their head on a wall, and as the spirit was manifesting and we bound the demon from hurting them, and I asked him after the deliverance, did your head sore? He said, oh no, feels great. Well, see, the demon couldn't hurt him because we prayed over him that wouldn't be hurt in any way. Not that everyone gets deliverance is going to beat their head on a wall or the floor. No. But some just simply breathe them out or cough them out, because the word for spirit is pneuma, in the air, in the breath, in the wind. And some spit up phlegm as the spirits come out. Some throw up, dry throw up. Some have ate right before deliverance and thrown up food too, because they shouldn't have ate right before deliverance. But some people yawn. Okay, but the important thing is that people get them out. Okay, and so we go through life and we look around us and we see people, places, and things, and animals, et cetera, et cetera. But things are not as they seem, folks. They're just not as they seem. We need to look to the realm beneath the realm. Some people and places are worse than others, but if your eyes were open, you would see swirling masses of demonic entities and fallen angels and peoples with various forms and shapes of things attached to their bodies. They can be walking down the street totally unaware of all the black beings that are stuck on them and protruding and feeding away on them. You know, it's sad to see this. They have their claws and their tail on stuck deep within and feeding on, you know, they feed on dirt, on flesh. You know, we were made from dirt, and God said the serpent, right, shall eat dust all the days of its life, right? A natural meaning and a spiritual meaning in that verse in Genesis, right? So, you know, you could go into a church and you see all these nice-looking, well-dressed people on Sunday morning or Saturday morning or whenever you go, and if you could look below the surface or into the spiritual, you would see all kinds of spirits attached to those dear people. Lust, fear, hopelessness, strife, marriage-breaking spirit, divorce spirit, anxiety, stress, deaf and dumb spirits, competition, jealousy, control, Jezebel and Ahab spirits, infirmity spirits, cancer spirits, trauma, mental torment, insomnia, can't sleep at night. I mean, on and on we could go with the list of things that are seen in believers today, because believers are tormented. They have spirits, and some worse than others, but all have some. Okay? I mean, it's a real circus, really, of spirits, many shapes and forms and functions. And yes, everybody has devils until they're cast out. I know some people find that hard to believe. Yeah, I used to believe when I first got into deliverance ministry some 30-some years ago that some people had devils. Well, as we went on doing deliverance more and more, then Linda and I said, well, we believe most people have devils. And the more and more I've done it, now I'm convinced all people have devils. Well, how can that be, Pastor Kyle? Why is that? Well, because all people have sinned, right? And wherever sin is going on, then you've got devils operating. I mean, if it's generational sin, then certain devils can get in every child born into that family, and they carry on the generational curse until it's broken and they're cast out. I mean, this could go on and on and on for generation after generation until somebody breaks this curse and begins to stop this from operating in their family. Like Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8 said, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So it says if a hedge is broken, a serpent's going to bite them, right? Well, whose hedge hasn't been broken down through sin today? Anybody? if you're not guilty of sin, then you should be preaching, not me. You should be talking, because, hey, I want to hear what you have to say. But really, there was only one perfect, and his name was Jesus. He's the only one that walks a perfect life on this earth. The rest of us, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so most of us were all born with broken edges, unless we had parents that did deliverance on the fetus in the womb and broke its curses and got the child out right. But very few have had that happen. Okay, and so we were born with broken down edges, and serpents have been biting and feeding on us ever since our birth. Hello, people. It's time to see past these veneers of lies, these thin veneers of lies that the enemy has laid up. I mean, the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness under the power of the God of this world, who is the father of all lies. So his whole system is based on lies, and he keeps those lies out there, even in the church, right? And in this area about demons, he definitely wants the lie propagated, so you don't ever start casting him out and removing him. See, every believer in Jesus needs deliverance. And this is one ministry that is fought against viciously by devils. Why is that? Well, because the devils don't want to be exposed and lose their host. Just like if you were in a criminal organization, then you would not want everybody to see what you were doing, right? Well, these devils is indeed a criminal, satanic organization of evil. With a vast network throughout the whole earth. And so they don't want you to know what they're doing, all right? They don't want you to know what they're up to. And so demons want to have a body, of course, to get in and attach themselves to, and fallen angels don't need a body, okay? But demons want a body. They want to get in a body. So they function best if not bothered and exposed. They don't want to be exposed. They don't like programs like this where they get exposed. And so there's always resistance. So is it any wonder that many churches don't accept and believe in deliverance? Do Christians believe lies today? Of course they do. All the time. We're continually lied to by demons, by media, by religion. I mean, on and on the lies go. And because Satan's kingdom is built on lies, because he fathers lies, right, continually, we will be inundated with lies before the return of Jesus. And it's only going to get worse. The Bible says it's going to go worse and worse and worse until the coming of the Lord. Yet the kingdom of God shines brighter and brighter until that full day. Thank you, Jesus. So much so that many are going to think they're following God, when in reality they're following demons and devils, and they think they're following God. They think attacking certain Christians and things like that, they're doing the work of God, when they're really doing the work of a demon. Listen, folks, I deal with demons many times in people who hear voices. People hear these voices, and they believe the voices they hear are God. And, you know, I can tell some of these folks all day long, and I have. I've told them over and over again that these voices are not the voice of the Lord. They are not the voice of the Holy Spirit, but they are lying devils. And many of them just simply will not believe me. What do these voices say? Well, some of the voices tell them that they're going to hell, that they've committed the unpardonable sin. One person said, God told me that I'm going to hell, that I'm not worthy, and I'm going to hell. And they were told that over and over, and they were convinced that it was God telling them that. That they are condemned, that it's hopeless, that they're a hopeless case, and there's no hope for them. Okay, so that's what a lot of people are hearing, these different voices. I know some people, they listen for the voice to tell them what to wear every day. They won't get dressed until they hear a voice. Hello, we need to be more mature than that. God gave us the mind of Christ. Hey, we don't have to hear a voice to decide what we're going to wear when we get out of bed in the morning. That's what he gave us a mind for. We pick what we wear based on, we have the Holy Spirit in us, so we're already set apart and sanctified, so we ought to be able to pick what we wear. But of course, if you got a bunch of demons in there, you might pick something, you know, that you shouldn't be wearing, right? But these people, they want to hear everything, what they're going to eat. These voices, they got to tell them what they're going to eat, what they're going to do each day. These are lying spirits masquerading as the Holy Spirit. Where is the operation of discernment of spirit today? We need that today like never before. we need that gift of the Spirit in operation as described in 1 Corinthians, what is it, chapter 12, and one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is discernment of spirit. Well, I think that is a critical, critical gift for us to seek after today so that we can discern what's the Lord and what isn't the Lord, because there's a whole lot of things that are not the Lord today that are speaking to people, and they mistake it for the Lord. And a lot of it is because people don't know the Word of God, or they have demons interpreted the Word to them and twisted the Word when they read it. And that can happen too, because they know the Bible, you know, better than you do. They know the Word of God, and they could sure twist it in your mind if you listen to them and entertain. So you and I need to be grounded in God's Word today. I really can't stress that enough, to taught and built up by the Holy Spirit, and know what God's Word says, because those who don't know the Word are likely to be seduced by another word, okay, masquerading as the Word, or a twisting of the Word, or a manipulation of the Word, or brought back under a yoke of bondage, like many, many people are being brought under that yoke of bondage, which is going back under the law and legalism and bondage to that. And the Bible says we don't want to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We've been freed from that. We don't want to go back under that. So is it any wonder that we see Christians doing crazy things today, people that call themselves Christians doing crazy things, and the world saying, man, hypocrite, these Christians, what's wrong with them?
Hey, define crazy things. Define crazy things.
Oh, okay, crazy things. Well, we could just use some that have been out in the news, like Jim Baker and Monica Lewinsky. Not Monica Lewinsky, the woman he was with. I forgot her name.
Yeah, but that's old news, and that guy has repented. I'm talking about contemporary stuff. I'm not trying to shut you off there, but I'm talking about contemporary stuff. How about the stuff like, I got to tell you something. Jim Baker openly, and look, I'm not a fan of anything, but I'm just saying, honestly, that's too old. Let's talk about the contemporary stuff. You talked about grave sucking. What about the gold dust? What about all the nonsense? Because let me start out with something. I want to put something into perspective. So this will come, this will mean something. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. That certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, now notice this, the evil spirit spoke and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Notice the ratio. One evil spirit possessed person was able to overcome seven. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, what people have got to understand here is that we're seeing the call from the Catholic Church. Again, this isn't an anti-Catholic statement. It's a statement based on this. They cannot keep up with the demons or the times. There was a time when the average, the average person's contact point with demons was pretty much either in a novel or in the first cinematic representations. I would say the first real cinematic, the Rosemary's Baby and then The Exorcist. And then they had so many genre films after that. But talk about the crazy stuff, because here in this we have religious people, and we've got them now claiming, and by the way, I talked to one of the Catholic Church's most famous exorcists. He's an older gentleman. He may be listening to this program tonight. And he and I had a wonderful talk about demons, but he also understood the time where they're going to come, and this man didn't know Jesus. And the fact is that people are trying to use the same effect of the Son sons of Sceva, and they don't know Jesus, and people think that, oh, I just have to say the word. We have to talk about, John, you learned functional authority and practical authority, and you know what it means to have the dunamis, the dynamite of the Holy Ghost. So share the crazy things, because again, Jim Baker isn't a contemporary issue, okay? And I'm talking about what you deal with in a given day. Now, you better take this on. People, you can say it, you know what you mean, but the Assembly of God, and I don't know Church of God, but I believe they have the same policy as the Assembly, that you cannot be a Christian and have a demon. So take your time, slow down a little bit, and tell people the difference between the body, soul, and spirit.
Okay, I will slow down a little bit. I didn't know I was going so fast, but I will slow down. And yes, I didn't want to really name any names, but I could just tell things that have been done by different ones. And of course, we've had ministers come to us for deliverance as well. But I, of course, don't want to name any names. That people doing things and that they should be doing that give Christians a bad look from the world. And they say, yeah, there's those Christians, right? And like you said, the gold dust is falling from heaven. And you know, there's actually a company that can create orbs and different things in a church or in a party or whatever, and those things will come and look like they're real. And you can hire this company to do to bring these things forth in your meeting or whatever. Again, I'm not saying that demons don't also show up as orbs and purple orbs and different things moving around in the churches, and I've seen pictures of them in churches manifesting, and I tell you, it's not the Holy Spirit, okay? And indeed, there are many things going on that make Christians, like the stigmata, the oil coming out of people's hands. Again, that started in Catholicism, not putting down Catholicism. I'm just telling you that's where it started, and coming out of people's hands, oil, and that's moved into spirit-filled churches where they thought it was God. And, oh, oil's coming out of my hand. That's the Lord. That's the anointing. And it's not. It's an unholy anointing, really, because the Lord does not need to bleed again. He bled once,
let me interrupt you again. Okay. You know, oil, stigmata actually is blood first. Then the stigmata was the sufferings of Christ, okay, that are being manifested. And there are actual, when I say actual, I'm not saying they're not supernaturally evil, but I'm saying that there's always something. Here's the basis of discernment. Anything that takes away from Jesus is the thing that you've got to be the most cautious of. So, you know, I want to make sure, John, that people understand that the soul is not the same as the spirit.
Absolutely.
You know, triune man, and the mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions, that is the habitation of the evil spirits. The spirit, when we accept Jesus, born again. But people who, right now, the largest group of people who believe in evil spirits, the power of hell, and supernatural results are, to a large extent, the majority on the planet are practicing Satanists, witches, warlocks. It's people that have embraced or have been brought into the unseen spiritual world now who are manifesting these things. So the point being is that, you know, people have got to understand that, you know, when a man gets saved, okay, Jesus, I love the statement, Jesus catches his fish before he cleans his fish. But that's where sanctification, surrender, and God's mercy and compassion and authority come in. You can't, you know, explain now that people can't. I get emails every day. Where can I go? I do, every day. I get emails from people, and because, you know, my friendship with John, I can't send all these people to you, because only the ones that, you know, I just get a like electricity going to my body, and I say, Lord, should I send this person or that? Because some of them are so, how do I say this, self-centered and demanding. I know that they haven't come to the place where they really desire to be free for Jesus' sake. They want the freedom. I also want to deal with tattoos, okay? when if the scripture says, lay hands hastily on no man, and the majority of imagery and tattoos, it used to be harmless, you know, or relatively harmless compared to today. But the fact is now is that you've got actual practicing shamans, you've got practicing witches, warlocks, druids, and you've got everybody, and a lot of them are in the tattoo business, and the ink that's used, and I had a guy that was tattooed, you met him at the Whitestone conference, come up, and he came to Jesus, and I wrote up part of his tattoo essay, I think in one of my books, and I'm trying to remember which one, but the point is that he had pretty much come to the point where he saw what curses were being put on him and placed upon him. Now the scripture says a curse causeless shall not light, but people whom, you know, whomsoever you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you become. What is your take, John Kyle? Sorry, I'm going to try to bring you on to a little different track now. What is your take on people that literally want to put the most heinous, wicked, evil, debauched tattoos on their body? What is causing that? I know the answer, but I want you to address it.
Well, in my opinion, and according to Scripture, I mean, the Scripture forbids the putting on marks on your body. And so if you're doing something that the Scripture says you shouldn't be doing, then obviously it's an open door for demons to attack you. And if something is driving you that way, not to mention the bloodletting, but it's also something driving you to put those marks on your body, then you got to examine, what is that? Where is that coming from? It doesn't just come from nowhere, okay? Nothing comes from just nowhere. Nothing happens for no reason. And so it tells you in Leviticus here that you shall, in Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So should it be cutting on your body, putting any marks on your body? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in our spirit. Like Brother Steve said, we are a triune man, or triune woman. Body, soul, spirit. Three parts. Demons can't get in your spirit. Jesus won't live with demons. Okay? Jesus doesn't live with demons. But there are two other parts of you that Jesus doesn't live in. Okay? The Bible says that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, Paul said, there's no good thing that dwells in my flesh, right? Dwelling, meaning abiding, living, alive, attached to, okay? And so there are things attached to your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, and to your body, right, which is your physical body. See, if Jesus lived in your body would not get sick, okay? If Jesus actually inhabited the body, because in his perfection, okay, the body would not get sick at all, because he's perfect and no sickness can dwell, you know, in perfection. But he doesn't live in your body. He lives in your spirit. And the Bible says in 1 John that your spirit does not sin. The part where the seed of God dwells in you does not sin. In fact, it cannot sin because the seed of God liveth in there. So there's no sin in your spirit. But you sin with your soul and your body. And you can, of course, choose to sin with your spirit. You can choose to reject the Holy Spirit. You can choose to remove God and give up your salvation. But that's a different story. We're not talking about that right now. Okay? So someone who is desiring to put tattoos, even Christian tattoos. I've seen pastors with tattoos on their body. They put markings of the cross or this, that, or the other, pictures of Jesus, which, of course, the Bible says we shouldn't put those either or hang them on our wall, pictures of Jesus, pictures of because we're not to make any likeness of God, okay? But people do that also. But you won't see any pictures of Jesus in my house, okay? And you won't see me tattooed all over. Thank God I didn't get any before I was a Christian, but you know, if you did, then you can get delivered, okay, from any spirits that came in. Plus, when they were putting those tattoos on, you may have picked up soul ties with the person that was puncturing your body and causing you that torment, because it's painful, from what I understand, to get those tattoos imprinted on your body, okay? And so you may have picked up soul ties from the person who was actually doing the tattoos on your body. and you need to get some deliverance. Okay, you need to get rid of the soul ties with that person. You need to cut and sever those, and break any cords, any lines, any attachments there with them, and then command any spirits that came in through the actual tattoo being placed on your body when you disobeyed God and put that on your body, whether you were a Christian or not a Christian, and when you had that done. Does that help?
Well, yeah, and I think people got to understand that one of the things that you're doing is you're mixing blood. When the inks are, you know, obviously the bloodletting. Now, why is this critical? Because, look, when God commanded the children of Israel to go into, obviously, the promised land, he told them, you're not to take on the habits or the customs of the people that you are dispossessing from the land. Now, Solomon didn't obey God's commandments, and when he started allowing foreign women to take not only his heart, but his, let's just say this, the seed of life, he became contaminated too. And see, this is something that people are just so foreign to. I want to make this clear. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away, all things have become new. We're a new creation. But anybody who buys a house knows you can keep every room in the house just absolutely torn apart, but if you only allow people to come into the living room, and the living room looks great, everything's neat, tidy, the floors are swept or whatever, the rug is vacuumed, and everything looks prim and proper, all they see is what you've allowed them to see. When God shows through the discernment and the power of the Holy Ghost and the discerning of spirits what's really on the inside, that's when all of the fur flies. That's when everything begins to manifest. And so what we're seeing right now is we're seeing, here's a word for you, Doug, we're seeing the lucification, Lucifer's impregnation of once what was a pulpit to preach the Word of God. Now we've seen basically doctrines of demons being preached in the pulpits and not the sound doctrine of the Word of God that we're instructed to teach the young Christians. So this is why deliverance is going to be coming into the public eyes. I mean, we just had some lady take on Katy Perry's dad, who believes that, you know, some people believe he's a minister of the gospel. And the deal is saying that, don't you see that you're, and this is on the London Daily Mail, don't you see what's going on? The headline read, you know, that she's screaming at Katy Perry's dad, the minister, saying, look what you've done, you know. It's openly advocated now in Hollywood for actresses to have sex with demons. And I'm hearing in my email, not every day, but weekly, of people that are having visitations in the night. You know, stuff that's right out of you. People in the 20th century used to think that stuff's just all middle-aged myth, but now they're having to deal with this sort of stuff, stuff they cannot explain, and stuff that has a detrimental and deleterious effect on their lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, we come back, and for those people that would like to send Doug questions, you cannot have a 3-hour session like this without people asking questions. Just direct your questions to Pastor Kyle, make them succinct, and then Doug, you can read them. And then John will talk in the last hour. Here's what I'm learning. People, you and I, as pastors, you know, in a subject matter like this, when we are preaching, you're the pastor, I'm just the researcher. When you and I get on, or any men of God get on, the questions that are raised, it's because people are truly tormented. People are truly demonized. The word demonized means under the influence of demons. And they have questions, no matter how clear you are, Pastor John Kyle, no matter how clear any man of God is, the Word of God teaches that people hear what they hear because the Word falls to the ground. I'm praying that doesn't happen tonight. Doug, should we take a break?
Yeah, right, Stephen. Folks, direct your questions to studio@hagmanandhagman.com, and the subject line, just put question, and that's studio@hagmanandhagman.com.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman.com here on Thursday, November 12th, 2015, with Pastor John Kyle and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. We'll be back with hour number two. Again, questions, send them to studio at hagmanandhagman.com. Subject line, question. Stay with us.